Hello and welcome to Talkward. I'm Marty D. Thanks for listening. So my first guest is Wendy Starling.
Hey, Marty, how are ya?
Who's a very successful stand-up comic who just moved here from Los Angeles, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, it'd be 2 years in March.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I feel so special. Am I your first guest?
You are my first
guest. Oh my God. Cheers, but don't make a sound. Cheers. Our coffee mugs. Ooh, did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was coffee. We're doing dry January, which means...
Well, I'm doing dry January.
So am I. I mean, I'll cut out booze. I'm just adding lots of extra cocaine into my daily routine. Really, I mean, my nostrils are parched. That's
exactly.
My dry January.
Absolutely.
I just don't have time to get to the gym as much as I'd like to.
You go to the gym a lot, though.
I do.
How often do you go to the gym? You're a fit person.
I guess, yeah.
You used to be a physical trainer, personal trainer?
Yes.
Back in the day?
Yes.
Was that in Florida?
That was in California.
That was in California.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like a health person.
Yeah. I mean, I know what I should be doing. And
because
I do.
I'm in like pain right now because I hadn't worked out in maybe... A definition of workout varies per person, I have discovered. So I would say I would go to the gym often and I would go on the elliptical and I would do 45 minutes and think to myself, I am doing a good job at working out. Look at me. I'm working out. I was on the elliptical for 45 minutes on level 15, and the machine says that I burned 500 calories.
And that is wrong.
And I know. They completely make that up. So for a while, I felt like I was actually working out. And then yesterday, I went to something called Cardio Dance and Tone.
Hold on.
Which was a class.
Stop it.
I went to this.
Where do you work out?
They have a free one upstairs in this building. There's a gym.
Okay.
And they were offering these free wellness classes for 2017. And I think until February, they're free.
I almost thought you said they were offering free wellness classes for $2,000.
For 2017.
I was like, Marty, that's not free.
So I went to it, and it was Cardio, Dance, and Tone. And it was all fit women. And my friends, oh, you're going to meet chicks. Yes, you are going to meet chicks, but you're not going to meet chicks in such a context that it looks good for you.
Right.
So I was, I'm wearing my gym clothes, which have been in the same bag for about 4 months.
Right. You're wearing your cardio dance wardrobe, which is sheer tights.
Right.
What kind of a top do you wear?
I have a sarong.
Right.
I have leggings. I have my, headband. Well, I have my leg warmers.
Yeah. Well, that's something I like about you. And I've known you for a long time. I mean, yeah. I've known you for like, 5 years, maybe 5 or 6 years. That was one of the first things that stood out to me about you is I remember it was after the show. It was at the Fort Lauderdale Club. And then we start dancing and you had to change and you came out and you've got your whole outfit changed because it's important for you to feel good
when
you're dancing. Yeah.
I feel the music. Anyway, so I did this class, and when you go to a class that's led by a professional, you realize that you have not worked out ever. I've never used those muscles before. This was a huge mistake. So by the end, by 35 minutes in, I was about to pass out. Like, I was like a panting, red, sweaty mess. And you can see there's like mirrors everywhere, which is a huge mistake. You shouldn't put mirrors all over the place because nothing makes you feel worse than seeing yourself in the mirror in that state.
Hey, I was your trainer. You know what? That's going to keep your fat ass coming back.
And
that's going to get your fat ass to pull your wallet out and pay for more training.
I'm going to go to yoga tonight. So tell me, we met in Florida, and at that time you had just started doing stand-up. And then you moved to California right after Florida and immediately exploded on the LA comedy scene.
Not really. Not immediately. Thank you. I more made a big kind of a thing in Florida out of the gate.
You were very popular in Florida.
I got lucky. I was scouted by one of the bookers at the three big improvs.
The crowd that you ran with at the National Lampoon Comedy Club when I first went down there was you, Dan Dakotas, Eric Myers.
Yes.
And you guys would just pile in a little car and go to all these little shows together.
Yep.
And that was fun. You guys were funny.
Yeah, super fun.
And I haven't heard of Dan Dakotas in a while.
Well, Dan stopped.
I thought he was like a natural.
He is a natural. He's so funny, but it's one of those things like he just wasn't happy doing it. He would get so anxious before he went on stage.
Yeah.
And he was not happy. And then I've seen him because he lives in New York now.
Yeah, he's been here for a while. And he did a couple of shows in like New Jersey that I wanted to go out, but I didn't see him do too many Manhattan shows.
Right. We talked about it, and it's an interesting thing because comedy is such an all-consuming thing if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
That has to be your thing.
Because he was like a savant.
Yes.
He was just like instantly
funny. I was going to say ingenue. I know that's normally for a female star, but he does lovely hair.
He does have long flowing hair.
I'm going to say ingenue.
And Eric Myers is doing really well.
Eric Myers is in LA. He's doing great. The other guys we rolled with, what, it was Lucas Connolly, who's in New York, and he's doing, he's fucking crushing out here. He's doing a great job. Patrick Schroeder is super funny. He's in New York now. They just did my Glamour Plus show, my birthday show.
So the big show you do here in New York, do you do it in, it's in Manhattan?
Yeah, it's Lower in the Village.
It's in the Village.
Oh, it's in Greenwich. It's Zinc Bar.
That okay. Little bit, Zinc Bar.
Yeah.
I haven't been to your Glamour Plus show
you
yet.
Got, well, that's because you're always out of town.
I know.
Son of a bitch.
It uses lots of, I want to call it a variety show?
We call it a variety show because we do, Christina and I do characters at the top of the show.
Okay. Which have wigs and furs and boas and things like that.
Oh, yeah. And it's a heavily, like, well, a lot of times. The last one was, went awry very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part.
You posted about this. You post a lot of things on Facebook. That's kind of how I keep up with you. I think you posted something about what happened at the show on Facebook immediately after it happened.
Oh, sure enough did.
Yeah.
Sure enough did. Because I think that people at the show thought it was a, well, first of all, I don't post on Facebook, just to be clear.
You post on Instagram?
Yeah.
And then it posts to Facebook.
Yeah. So I have my Twitter and Instagram hooked up to Facebook. I deleted the Facebook app off my phone because I do not want, I don't give a shit. I don't care. And I'll look at it like once a day. And, I have the Messenger thing on my phone.
Well, that's like most people. People post things, but they don't want to see other people's things.
Right.
So it's just like everyone's just like publishing their own story, but no one wants to read the other person's story.
Right. I will actually, with Facebook, I will actually, I'll look at it like maybe once or twice a day.
Yeah.
To see if
it's
I get...
It's just baby photos and dogs.
I know.
That's it.
No, comics have fun things. Like I missed a real big fight. There was a lot of shit went down and I miss on like who's getting raped and who's not getting... It's very... I miss out on a lot of good like rape... stuff, not scrolling
primarily. Would you say it's just rape stuff for comics on Facebook?
I would say it's rape and then like but also dogs and babies.
Yeah,
comics have dogs and babies.
It's got everything. It's got rape, dogs, and babies.
Yep.
Facebook for comics.
Yeah,
check it out.
It's very exciting.
So the Glamour Push show is big. You also do a show that is like a live video streaming show from your apartment. Tell me about that.
We used to do that. I don't know. I do not do that anymore.
How is it different than a cam show?
It was not.
No, I know. Oh, it's not different than a cam show.
It essentially was a cam show. I mean, we were, well, past tense, because this show is no longer with us.
Okay.
But we did that for a while. That was really fun. But my roommate and co-host, Lisa Correa, who's a very funny comic.
Yeah.
Left New York and moved back to Florida like a year ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So she's no longer in New York.
And what was that show called?
That was called Our Big Apartment Show.
And was it a big apartment?
Yes. No, it's not a big apartment, but it's like, you know, our big show, like the, you know.
Right.
So it was really fun. And we would have guests on like a talk show and people would chat and life. So it was a really fun thing to do. It was Lisa's idea. And it was super fun. It was a really fun thing to do.
But it ran its course. And people would pay for it.
Right.
See, this is the thing that's so special about you and how you're so like entrepreneurial compared to other comics that I know is you're funny and you have a great material, but you also figure out a way to actually make money doing it.
Well, that was the cam show thing. That was Lisa's idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's great.
But don't you sell tickets for Glamour Plus?
Oh, yeah. We sell. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I try to monetize.
And you sell out.
Correct.
Like your show like sells out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, part of the reason that it sells out is because Christina's podcast, The Guys We Fucked. That's my co-host is Christina Hutchinson.
Yeah.
She is half of The Guys We Fucked podcast, which is exploded.
How many guys
in
is
popularity.
It? Do they just talk about guys that they've bedded?
Yes. Oh, Marty, I don't mean to make you blush.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Christina and then Corinne Fisher. And it started, they started maybe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Corinne. I love, this is such a great, and it's true. Corinne was dating some guy and he broke up with her in a Panera Bread and she was super depressed and she and Christina are like buds and comedy partners and she was super sad and she's like, I don't know why I can't get a relationship to like work.
It's not the worst place to get dumped though because you're right there. I mean, and their food is delicious.
Right. And I mean, if you are going to binge eat, you could do some healthy. They do a lot of kale in their stuff now. I mean, it still is half romaine.
And did I mention Talkward is brought to you by Panera Bread. They've got kale.
They do. They really are scared. The last time I went to a Panera Bread was, I try not to go to fast food places, but it was in Florida and it was mostly romaine. And I was like, either trade this out for kale or knock $2 off. This is, fuck you. Listen, lady. I don't know if you know the amount of alcohol I shovel into my body.
Yeah.
I have to balance it out somehow.
Exactly.
Get this romaine out of my face.
Absolutely.
So Corinne gets dumped in a Panera Bread, gets super sad, goes to, and she's like, I want to find out like what went wrong in all my past relationships. So they started a podcast where she was like, let's just interview. And Christina was like, that's a great idea. So they were like, well, let's just interview guys that we fucked. So that's how it started.
And these exes just kind of show up and just talk about,
and they would,
hey, remember when we got drunk and I dragged you home and we banged and then you snuck out of the bathroom window and dropped your cell phone and then you had to get your cell phone back and it was really awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how it started. And then from there, it became this, you know, it's like an anti-slut shaming thing, and that's their whole like mission and their personality and who they are.
That's
so
nice.
They started this thing and then they started bringing people in. And they talk very openly about sex with each other. And then they started bringing guests and comics and got into really deep issues. Well, this fan base, because it's this area that people don't, especially young women, a lot of people don't address. Let's see. I don't know. Did I accidentally hit Siri?
These things automatically pop up. What I found on my new iPhone is when I'm texting, you can't help but accidentally push that little microphone icon and send like a recording randomly to somebody. I keep sending recordings to people of me.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Of me, like, inside my pocket. Or me grunting.
Oh, that's embarrassing that my Siri just went off because I'm writing a good... But so that's the show. So they've got a really rabid fan base.
Yeah.
And Corinne produces a couple live shows. And then when I did the podcast when I first moved out here, it was a popular podcast, but it was not what it is now. They're on like a sold out international tour. Like they're going to Europe. It just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of what, I mean, the show sells because people know the name Glamour Puss is a cool name and we do characters. And then what we were able to do is.
And then do you book stand-ups?
Yeah.
On the
so
show
we
too?
Have four okay. comics and a variety act.
And what's the variety act usually?
Different every time. So like the last one we had a magician. Andy
oh, cool.
Still. Yeah. I love magic. Love magic. We've had burlesque.
Those guys get laid.
Yeah. No, Andy does not know. You know, my favorite thing to do is like a lot of times now we have kind of a, we've been doing it for this February show will be the 19th show or yeah, it'll be the 19th.
You do it every month?
Yeah, it's monthly. It's exciting. I love it. Such a fun show.
It's a lot of shows.
But we have kind of like this rotating wheel of variety acts that we know will show up and do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
When we started and what I'm going to start doing again, because we already have the February show booked, but. I would put an ad out on Craigslist, be like variety act and put, you know, $20 and you get insane people. You get
that's
crazy
fun.
New York performer.
Yeah.
Just doing the weirdest shit. And I loved that because that's how we started. I would do that. And then like Christina, I would have them. I'd be like, okay, you introduce them because she would have no idea what the fuck was going on.
What was the best one you've gotten from that?
The best one we got. Amazing Amy was great. She's in her 70s or 80s. She's a contortionist.
Oh, wow.
She performs a lot around the city. It was really packed and she couldn't find a place to stretch and she just was in different parts of the
venue. She's in her 80s?
Yeah. She was very nice lady, good performer, real high maintenance. So it was like, she did a good job and she ran the light and she was very high maintenance before, which I understand. But it's like, okay, well, here's the thing. And I know
how
people
did she
go,
contort? Like, did she do, like, did she bend her legs over
yeah,
her head and all
crazy,
that kind of stuff.
Crazy, super flexible. I mean, and I understand it. I will say it. So people will go like, oh, she's old. Give her
She is old.
But.
Were you at all worried that she might die in the show?
No.
No?
I was hoping she would when she was 3 minutes over the light. I was like, maybe cross your fingers, you guys. This might be. I was nervous about it. And then she
Comics
wouldn't get
their
off.
Light.
She wouldn't get off the fucking stage.
So obsessed with her light.
Well, I mean,
oh, I know.
Off.
You got to get off.
But the other thing, too, and people are like, well, she's old and she's towards the end of her life. And
give
so
her some time.
But you know what? No, fuck that.
Get the hook.
No, because people I found, people just the same where people are like cranky and shitty when they're old.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I used to give them the benefit of the doubt and be like, oh, they're old. People, there are nice old people. People who are shitty when they're old were shitty when they were in their 20s.
Yeah.
You're just a shitty person. I mean, not a shitty person, but you have a shitty attitude or you're. So I don't. No. And I actually have less patience for it because the older you are, the more you should learn how to control yourself and get along in society. So the older you are, the less, you know, the more affable you should be. Is that a word?
That's the opposite. Old people just get meaner and meaner and they don't give a shit. They don't. They have a lot. They have a less tolerance for putting up with people, because their view is, I've got a, you know, who knows, a week and a half left on this planet. I'm not going to put up with any of your crap.
Right. Good. Well, guess what? I may have another 40 years, and I might have a really fun life, so I don't have time to deal with their shit.
Exactly. But we're blessed to have.
Fight.
I know. So the show's once a month, and you're up to new stuff with the. Well, I mean, did you want to talk about at all about what happened at the show for your birthday show?
So here's the. You want to hear the awkward story? Because I know this is like the. Here's the what happened on my birthday show. Let's.
This is your talkward moment.
Okay, so this is the awkward story.
Yeah.
I am dating somebody.
Yeah.
And I will say, I use the term boyfriend. If anybody's listening to this and you're in the New York area or not in the New York area, I am in an open relationship, which is to say I am dating someone. We like each other very much. We get along. We like to spend a lot of time together and talk on the phone. But we're also both of us are like real big whores. And we want to be able to fuck whoever we want to fuck when we want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Good for us. It's a great match. But I was posting like dating and like boyfriend, whatever. And then this kid that I hook up with sometimes I saw the other night. And I was like, oh, he's been texting me nonstop. And I was thinking like, oh, we can go back.
Mm-hmm.
So he was getting ready to leave. And I was like, he was like, oh, I thought I saw on Instagram that you were like dating someone. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can still fuck who I want to fuck. And he was just like, oh, I wish I would have known. I'm like, well, see, look at that. And so now I'm going to doubly have sex with this person because he was so respectful.
Yeah.
Anyway. So for all intents and purposes, I refer to this person as my boyfriend.
Yeah, okay? It's easier that way.
It's easier than being like,
There's a long explanation otherwise.
Right, he's the main person that I fuck. He's the one I publicly go to dinner with and do things like that.
He's your number one in your rotation.
Right, he's my main. We're each other's main bitch.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry. I didn't realize this was going to get so romantic.
And then you have a bottom bitch.
Right.
Who's the other person.
Actually, yeah. Well, no, the bottom bitch means... Like, that's your main person.
Oh, is it? Oh,
bottom bitch is
here.
Like,
I had him flip flopped all this time.
Yeah, Marty.
Sorry, Darlene.
I know. I was going to say, you've got some text messages to send after the show.
I definitely do. Wow.
You got to switch the order.
Exactly.
Reorganize the little pins on your corkboard at home.
I do. I have to reorganize the color coding for like all of my stuff.
I know. What do you do for bottom? I like magenta for a bottom bitch color for a girl.
Yeah. I do more of like a dark purple.
Ooh, royalty. You
know? Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
So my bottom bitch, that's nicer. I actually like that better. So he has come out to shows, and this is when he wanted to come to a show. He's like, okay, just to let you know, once you come to a show, like, so the first time he came and saw me now,
that's crossing quite a big social line for your relationship to go from what you were in your open relationship to then essentially you're letting him into your pseudo world of comedy.
Right. And that's, I told him, I was like, look,
that's like meeting the parents.
Oh, that's more.
That's more than meeting the parents.
Yeah, that's more than meeting my parents, family, friends, anything. And I told him that, oh, yeah, I can't think of a time that I've been dating somebody. Well, I haven't really dated anybody that's been something more than just like banging, you know, going over when you're drunk and horny.
Don't get too romantic on me again.
I know. We're going to start crying. And in a long time. But even if I did, I would never let them come to a show because I'm like, no. These are two separate things. Because if I'm in a relationship with someone, I try to be, or if I'm like dating a guy, I try to be a little more soft and feminine and, you know, because I want someone to pay for dinner.
Right.
And I don't want to, but with comedy and stuff, this is a whole different thing where I get really bro-y and I'm my jokes, you've seen me, my jokes are not about like how much I love giving blowjobs and doing dishes.
They are not about that.
No, they are not. And so that's always just, that's a strange like boundary to cross.
Yeah.
As I've said, okay, no, just. If you come to a show now, this is real Wendy. So now there's no going back.
Yeah.
When we're hanging out. So I need you to be okay with, and this was a text that he did send me before he ever came to a show. He's like, I'm just worried that, you know, the stuff we'd only gone out like 3 or 4 times in the first week. So this is before I knew this was like five weeks ago. No. This is the first time he came to a show.
Oh, I didn't realize that this relationship was so new.
Yeah. It's only like 5 weeks old.
Oh, I thought this was like much longer than that.
No.
Well, I'm interested to see how this turns out.
I just move fast. Quickly.
You do move fast.
I move quickly.
Yeah.
If I like somebody, I like them and I'm having a good time and I'm like, great, perfect.
Yeah.
And it's easy and it's efficient. And we have a similar mindset where we're like, we like each other. We have great. This is efficient. We like, perfect. Great. So anyway.
And this birthday thing happened, what, like 2 weeks ago?
The birthday thing was last week. The birthday, my
birthday. Happy
birthday,
by the way.
Thank you. It was January 2nd. I turned 35.
God, you're getting old.
I know. And I give my real age because I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Well, you don't look 35.
I know. I look 42.
I know, right?
That's a joke about drugs and alcohol.
I like it better that you grew your blonde hair back.
I know. I was going to say,
remember last time I saw you when you had your head shaved like the chick in Mad Max?
Yes.
You were very Mad Maxy for a while.
Right. But yeah, I'm growing it in. I dyed it blonde.
You were very Thunderdome for like, I don't know, about a year.
I still am a little Thunderdome-y. So my bottom bitch, who's come to a show, and the first time he came was New York Comedy Club, and he was real drunk, and he got there late, and it was sold out, and he couldn't be sat. And rich people, excuse me, I'm going to burp right in the microphone. So rich people don't understand. When you have a certain amount of money, Jesus, Wendy, you don't understand. Problem is, I've been running around all day I worked out, and then I was at a fitting all day, and then I just had like a bite of a granola bar, and I'm having water and coffee.
It's healthy.
Oh, I should have had a beer. At least that has. Anyway, so when you have a certain amount of money, you don't understand that. No.
I don't?
No, not you. Rich people. People that are super wealthy, they don't understand. No. So he was like, oh, can we come in? And I was like, no, you cannot.
Oh, when the drunk boyfriend wanted to come to your show.
So now this was at New York Comedy Club. Now, yeah. Amy, the booker, is cool. And she was like, well, he can't go in and watch a show, but when you go do your set, he can sit in the sound booth and watch. And he brought his buddy. So I talked to him beforehand. We're out in the bar area. And he's trying to order drinks. And I was like, first of all, you are drunk. So you're drinking water. Also,
time is this?
It was the 11:30 show.
Okay. So it's kind of late.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was my like fourth spot of the night, and I had not had a drink all night. So I've been working. And most people, when they come to a comedy club, and I get it. You're drinking. The audience is like, they're having a good time and they're relaxed. Mm-hmm. And as comics, it's our job to go up and be fun and have fun. But in the reality is like, we're working. Mm-hmm. So it's actually not, it's a bar and it's a club, but that's my job.
Yeah.
That's my office. So like, don't act like a fucking asshole. And a lot of times, and you know, because
you're only 5 weeks into this relationship.
Well, at this point.
Well, relationship. And
well,
I'm doing
point,
air quotes.
Yeah. Well, at this point, we were like a weekend the first time he saw me.
Oh, wow.
So he got real, but he was good and he was quiet. And he was very drunk. And I said, he goes, I want to come watch you. And I told him, I said, I swear to God, you say one fucking word while I am on stage, I will tear you so many new assholes. And he was like, all right, fine. And I was like, I'm not joking. I'm exhausted.
He might like that though.
Yeah, he's in it. So, but he did a great job. He walked in, he sat on the little sound booth quietly. I had a good set. It was very fun. I love that late show's really fun. And so I get done. Great. I was like, good job. He's like, that was awesome. I was like, yeah, I know. And then I'm like, now I need a drink. Now I will have a drink. And now I can relax. He's just like, chill out. This is what I'm and I so we had to have that talk. We're like, this is my work. Great. So fast forward to my birthday show a week ago. Not even, it was Thursday.
Okay, so this is 5 weeks in then.
Yeah, so this is five weeks in. So this is January 5th. So it's my birthday Glamour Push show. Very sweet. The people that showed up. So now the people that bought tickets and showed up, it was a lot of people who like come to the show a lot.
How many people is a sold out show at Zinc Bar? Is this a venue that has like a big stage? Is it,
no,
what kind of seating is it?
You'll love it. It's like it's a basement jazz bar. Used to Boston Comedy Club used to be, it's like,
okay,
above. Sold out is maybe like 82.
That's a good number for a show.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful
venue. I'm used
venue.
To like the downstairs of Union Hall, you know, which is like, I don't know, 13 and a half people.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a great, like in the tables, it's a really beautiful venue. So the people that are there are people who come to the show a lot. And I had like some, it was really sweet people. Some people like made me cards. I had a couple other, there were like two other people there who it was their birthday that week. And so they were like, oh, we were all taking pictures. And I had this one guy made me this really cool, like a fan, maybe this really cool, like found wood thing. So it was really fun, right?
You have weird fans.
Yeah. So I get presents.
Okay.
It was great. Now, Christina and I do a sketch at the top of the show. The show is we do characters called Nina and Simone, and they are like old timey, like old school New York hookers. And we wear wigs and dresses and we write sketches and do crowd work, but we're doing character stuff. And the point of the show and then the opening, every show is, are you guys excited to see Christina and Wendy? My buddy Will Watkins opens the show, gets them all fired up. And then he's like, well, too fucking bad. They can't make it on time, but I got these two hookers out back. They're going to start the show because I got a samba band coming on at 10 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
Now this is, we walked into the venue before the show and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. We could do like a real, I was like, do you want to do like characters and do wigs? And she was like, fuck yes. So this is something that we just created to do something fun for us and something different. it's awesome. Our writing, like you, we've written like some phenomenal, like it's cool because we get a chance to do write sketches, mm-hmm. practice improv, practice character work and crowd work. And we get to, we're just like putting ourselves through a boot camp. And our skill level, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And we get to, so it's very fun and we do it in, anyway, so we do characters. Mm-hmm. So before the show, it's always a panic mode of like, okay, we have people working the door. Now there's a line of people to get in and get sat. And then people, as the popularity of Glamour Puss grows, and then also Christina's podcast, you have fans now that want to like look at you and take pictures with you before the show. And so when we rehearse, we used to stand right outside. And now we have to go like around the block because mm-hmm. we'll be rehearsing the opening script. And people are just like staring at you. And you're like, well, fuck it. All right. So we have to, so it's kind of, so now it's just like a high stress situation.
I didn't realize what a celebrity I had here.
Oh, yes.
Goodness.
Yes. So it's always a really high stress situation right before the show. Because mm-hmm. we're like, okay, memorize these lines. What are we going to do? And then we go into this. Cool. And then we have the sound cue and we like, okay. So now my bottom bitch is there early and he's like, babe, very drunk. And he's with his friend who's very drunk. And I'm like, okay, so we're doing, I have to get work on the opening and this is sketch. I was like, and he sat himself. Like two or three seats from the stage. And I was like, do you want to, I'll move you to the back by Christina's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, we're fine. We're not even close to the stage. So then I see where he's sitting and I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, okay, I need you guys. Like, please don't talk. Like you cannot talk during the show. We're doing characters. We're doing a lot. And we do a lot of crowd work.
And this is he visibly intoxicated at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
And so is his friend. But he can normally hold it together. So I'm like, we get on stage, we start doing crowd work.
How old is he? Like 60?
Yes.
Does he have hair? Does he have all his hair?
Oh, yeah. He's super hot.
That's nice.
And he works out. Yeah, he's really hot. He's super handsome. Like, I love hanging out with him. He's super fun to hang out with. And anyway.
That's why I'm getting in shape now, because as you get older, I just turned 38. As you get older, you realize I have nothing to offer young, beautiful women. I have to at least get in shape.
Yes.
You know? Like, at the very least, like, you know, I have less hair than I used to. The one thing I can do that I can do that I can have control over is I can probably get in shape.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's one of the few things that you have control over.
It is. It's one of the few things you have control.
How you respond to a situation and your physical appearance.
Yeah.
To an extent. I mean, if you get hit by a car, I mean, you're like a dog bites your face. Then. But, you know, aside from like a big
gorilla
disaster.
Gorilla attack.
Right. I mean, ugh. You have to watch out for those in the city.
On the A-train.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So he shows up. Hey, back in the... Hi, on the... So he's real... So he's real hammered. We go on stage. We start the show as Nina and Simone. And then I've got my buddy Lucas, who I mentioned earlier. I know from Florida. So he's doing an impression of me. And he's got a beard. And he comes up. And he's... So we've got this whole thing planned out. Where
so
he's
there's like a
like,
Wendy drag type situation going on?
So that's we're funny. Like, so he can go up and then he just makes fun of me and he's like, you guys look, and we're like, Wendy, and he's like, I'm trying to, you know, you guys are ruining, I'm Wendy, I'm flat chested and I do cocaine and I'm a big whore, you guys are ruining my show, like stuff like that. So that was weird. So this whole thing, and I told Lucas, I said, now the guy that I'm dating, I refer to him as my boyfriend, you can say that, and he's sitting here, so just for like that would just so you can play off of that if you want to when you get up there and be like, you guys are my boyfriend's,
so you
here
instigated.
No, I did not.
A little bit.
No, nope.
Well, you told the fake Wendy to say something.
No, I did not.
To drunk boyfriend.
No, what I said was, just so you know, to be, you can reference, like when you come on stage and yell, because this is the catalyst for us to start the show, is Christina and I, or Nina and Simone, are on stage fucking around doing terrible crowd work,
so
doing
like
a weird sketch.
A puddle of gasoline, and there was like a dumb baby, and you're like, here are some matches, I'm going to walk away. This isn't my fault.
No, that's not, you're not listening to this. You're not
okay,
listening to
this. Okay, go ahead.
So my thing was, because if he's going to be, you know, I said, so Lucas, you can come on stage and be like, and just start screaming, like, you guys, start the fucking show. And we'll be like, who's that? And be like, and then we'll be like, when? And you're like, and just, Lucas, I said, as me, just come on stage and be really upset. Like, you guys are ruining my birthday show. You're not funny. You're never funny. You don't know how to open the show, because that's part of the gag, is that the hookers are like terrible and they never set the show up properly because they're just fucking around. But it's like fun.
Yeah.
And it's a great out if something that we do fails, because it's always this thing of like, we're not good at this. Right. So it's, and the audience likes it once they get it. It's really fun. So I'm like, you can be like, hey, you know, you guys are ruining it. It's my birthday show. My boyfriend's here. Like, I'm trying, you know, you're making me look bad. That's all. I want, you know, like.
Oh, to, you didn't direct to the actual boyfriend.
No.
You didn't point and
no,
say
No, I just
that
said Lucas.
Guy.
I said, you can say, gotcha. Right. But Lucas knew who he was because before the show, he came out and he's like, babe. Oh, and then Lucas knew very clearly who it was because 2 minutes in, so Nina and Simone are talking to do little opening sketches and our jokes about our New Year's resolutions. Very yeah. funny. We're getting laughs. Great. Perfect. And now we'll go into crowd work and kind of riff. And we're like, and so we're like, and that's always fun. So we're like, perfect. We're on target. We do our little opening jokes. Pop. It's popping. Everything's yeah. popping. Great. And then we go into, you know, and so, Christina goes to the guy and she's like, what about you? What's your New Year's resolution? You got to, we do these like terrible accents. She's like, you got a New Year's resolution? What's your resolution? And this kid goes, I don't really, I mean, my life is going pretty well. I guess maybe that I need to just start running more. And my boyfriend's friend had just quit his job and was like moving and his girlfriend's like a bitch and he's got this terrible, so he's real depressed and he's been drinking heavily. And he hears this guy go, my life's pretty great. I just need to start running more. Well, my boyfriend's very inebriated friend yells to the crowd member in the front, fuck you. Now, I'm like, my whole body just went in. I went into fight or flight panic mode because if I had been on stage as Wendy,
yeah,
different situation. If I'm on stage as myself, I can make a joke and then call out that it's this person is with my boyfriend because I know he's right and I can make it. I know how to work that. Yeah. Leave that. And I've got jokes and I can diffuse a situation. Right. I can 100% handle that. But I am in a character.
Yeah.
And the audience knows I am doing the character. But I also have got a fake Wendy coming on.
And the audience doesn't necessarily know at all about this. This heckler is your boyfriend yet.
No, they okay. don't know. But
does
I
that,
know.
Does that come out at all?
Yes.
Okay.
I know. And so as a, there's two different things. As a performer, I'm like, sweet. We got a real drunk guy in the opening.
Unfortunately,
right?
It's the guy I'm sleeping with. But right? whatever.
And so,
you can't win them all.
Right. Yeah. So part of me is like, as a performer, you're like, amazing. We can... This will buy us like 2-3 minutes dealing with this guy. We can go back and forth. And then also now we can possibly get this person kicked out if they're going to be a problem the rest of the show.
Yeah.
So as a performer, I'm like, this is great. Identify yourself now.
Yeah.
Right. But he is the person with my boyfriend. But then as Wendy, who knew this was the person with my boyfriend, I was like, I do not want to engage these people. I don't want to engage them. This is not going to go any, this is not, this is going to derail the whole show.
Yeah.
So I'm in this weird place where I'm like, okay, as a performer, I know I have to do this, but I know as Wendy, I know this is the worst idea, but it's like, I have to do it.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Can't ignore it.
I'm going to act like I don't see it. That's amateur.
Can't just skip it.
No.
Yeah.
So I was in a real, and the comics knew, and like Christina's boyfriend was like, fuck, and everyone kind of knew.
Did he end up getting kicked out?
Oh, you know, I had to forcibly kick him out in between comics.
Wow. This is... The boyfriend's friend or the boyfriend?
Both.
Oh, both.
Oh, the boyfriend's friend got so drunk that he just, after I kicked him out, he like just disappeared, but he left his coat and his credit cards all on the floor. And so nice. My drunk boyfriend. So at the one point where I'm talking with him, and then at one point, the drunk friend is like, I'm like, oh, what's going on? You know, why are you so mad at this guy? He's like, because my life sucks and I hate my boss. And my drunk boyfriend is his ex-boss.
Oh.
So he goes, and I hate my boss. And now my boyfriend goes, and I'm his boss. And I'm like, fucking, goddamn it. Fuck. So now I have to try to be cool, but I'm in character. And I'm like, you hate your boss, but you're out to dinner with your boss. Because I'm like, I have to handle this. I can't let Christine handle
this. Why was he out to dinner with his boss?
So I said, so I go, well, that's what I was trying to ask. Yeah. So I'm trying to play dumb as like, it was the most uncomfortable situation I've ever been in on stage. And I don't know if you were, and I at Lampoon, and I have had a heckler walk up to the stage pulling what may have been mace or a gun out of her purse in Florida. Wow. I have had somebody approach the stage while security was nowhere to be found.
It was a pretty rough club at the Fort Lauderdale Club.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was the most uncomfortable situation I've ever had on stage. And it's like the show.
You've done a show naked.
Oh, yeah. I've done a show. Well, I don't give a shit. And then I made some comment. I actually was able to like get a joke out. And I'm like, why are you out to dinner with your boss? And then my fucking boyfriend goes, this isn't dinner. Because they're at a bar, and I was like, "You," I wanted to go, you motherfucker.
Was there food?
No, but
that's
I mean,
dinner.
I just said dinner because I was having an aneurysm, and I was trying to find a word.
Were there nuts?
No, but I don't know. I just said, you know, I was going to say, why are you out with your boss? But I was like, why are you out to dinner with your boss? I mean,
they could have had dinner beforehand.
Yeah, but also, you got to understand how many different things were happening in my brain. Yeah. I was losing my, the fact that I made a sentence and didn't start crying and just pissing my pants on stage was a win for me. So I go, but I'm also in character, Simone. So I'm like, I go, why are you out to dinner? I go, if you, why are you out to dinner with your boss? And my boyfriend goes, this isn't dinner. And if you tell me that I didn't stick in my fucking character as an alcoholic prostitute, which is not real far off from, anyway, I go, oh, sorry, Rockefeller. Some of us consider vodka a meal, right? That's good. Thank you. In that state of panic, I was able to just go like focus, try to stay in Simone's character. You got Christina's up here. It's Nina and Simone. Just deal with it. And then fake Wendy came up.
Yeah.
And when then, so we deal with that, put that out. And then Christina's like, we're trying to get more New Year's resolutions. So we try to go back into crowd work. And at one point, my drunk boyfriend goes, my New Year's resolution is to fuck Wendy. And we're like, and everyone starts laughing. The audience, I think for sure, I know for a fact that at least 10 people who came to the show were like, that was so cool that you like, that was such a weird like meta, like how you had like, you like the drunk, because we had, because we're doing characters, we had drag Wendy. I think
it's all an act, folks.
I think a lot of people thought the drunk boyfriend, because they're like, no way would somebody's boyfriend show up that hammered and start heckling their girlfriend's birthday show.
Yeah. It seems like it was like performance art, you know, like in a very,
it was
live sense.
Oh, it probably, if somebody was,
everyone's like, are we on a hidden camera show? This is awesome.
Oh, for sure. For sure. If we had filmed it, we would, people would just be like, this is the most alty.
You should definitely start filming these shows. I thought we maybe do. You do. Oh,
we so filmed some.
Well, you didn't have this one on film?
No, we didn't.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah,
that could have been like a pilot for a show on
CISO.
Could be a CISO show. Could be a true TV show.
Could be what's the Forensic Files channel? True TV? What's the one where it's women killing men?
Well, True TV is all comedy programming now. It used to be like Court TV, and then it used to all be just like live reality clip shows of like, you know, a bull chasing down a man and goring him to death. They don't do that anymore. Now they actually have comedy shows on True TV. Anyway.
Which is like, why? What's the point? I do love comedy. Some of them are funny. Yeah. I mean, I mean, what's the point? Unless you're going to put me on, in which case I love True TV and I'll do.
That's so funny though, because like comedians, so many comedians don't watch other comedy, like they're not, because they make their own comedy. They get their fill. They're like,
well, I don't want to. Well, that's the thing is like I don't like to.
And you
watch,
don't want to be influenced by.
You don't want to be influenced by it. And most, for me at least, like I'll watch sometimes just to see like what's out there, to be like, okay, like what, as far as like if someone goes, hey, I'm audition for, it's this type of a show, I'll watch the format just to watch it and like understand like, okay, what do these people want you to do?
Yeah,
you know, like what are they looking for? But I don't want to watch, like, I listen to like murder shows and I watch like documentaries. That's most, yeah, because we don't want to, you're trying to get information and then you're trying to live your life,
right?
And then from those things you now then make comedy, at least for me. And that's, I find most people, it's like you're taking real shit.
Yeah.
Someone once described to me, and this is a quote, like poets take something really tiny. And songwriters, they'll take a tiny moment or something really small and insignificant and make it into this big, like they make it really big and important. And it's this big, beautiful, emotional thing. And that's what you do. And you're like, in comics, it's the opposite. We take really big ideas that are like important, like religion and like all that kind of, you know, and
yeah,
like, we take big, big ideas and break them down into something teeny tiny, like some fucking stupid joke punchline, like a marble that you can flick. So it's the opposite. So, yeah, so I don't like to like watch. I don't want to like watch comedy shows. But you
listen to podcasts.
I do. I listen to, yeah, I love listening to podcasts, especially like good improv podcasts. And then, but I also listen to like Freakonomics, and Sword and Scale is like my favorite.
Intellectual things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Debates. Those are really, it's really good to listen to debates. I like stuff on BBC. There's a show, and it's Brian Cox and, what is that? It's such a great, and then they stopped doing it, and I'm really sad because it's one of my favorite shows. They just put out a new one, like, Infinite Monkey Cage. It's a great one. Like, philosophical debate shows, stuff like that. I just to hear sentence structure and logic, and because it's comedy, it's logic.
Yeah.
And anyway, so yeah, if we would have filmed that, oh, it would just, people were like, that was so meta and alt, and people, and I was having a fucking full-blown panic attack.
It sounds awesome.
So we finally, and at one point, fake drag Wendy is going in hard because drag Wendy walks on stage and then drunk boyfriend is like, I love you.
Yeah, it would be great if drunk boyfriend somehow made some moves on drag Wendy.
Yeah, well, so it was the most uncomfortable. I just wanted to get off and I was trying to make it funny and like people were laughing, but they didn't really. So Lucas is going
in. So that's the most uncomfortable moment of your life.
Oh.
Professionally.
Professionally? Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then, oh God. And so then we get done and I walk off and I was like, we get the first comic up. I'm like, Jesus, I'm so glad my friends were, all the people that I booked on the show were my friends.
Yeah.
People that, because I was like, what the fuck? And I walked off stage and I wanted to throw. I was so mad because I couldn't even enjoy the moment in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then my bottom bitch comes out and he's like, babe, you're so funny. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, you are so drunk. You are not going back in the showroom. And he's like, go get my friend. And I'm like, I'll go get him. I'm like, I will do it from the stage. You out here.
Yeah.
And he's like, can I get a vodka soda? And the owner of Zinc Bar, whose name is Alex, who I love, Alex, is like, who is it for? And, I'm like, it's for me. And he's like, I'm getting her a drink. And he's like, I'm going to have. And Alex is like, you are cut off. And he was like, oh, babe, they're cutting me off. I go, yeah, I know, because you're drunk and you're being an asshole. You go sit in that chair. You drink this water. And that's the thing is he was then later that night and then the next day, you know, and he was like, since then, because it was recently, he's like, I'm really sorry. And I said, OK, I get it. You cannot come to shows if you're that inebriated. I said, but the thing is, when I tell you to leave, you leave.
Yeah.
That's really all I can ask for.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to be, of course, if I'm with somebody and we get along and he puts up with me, because that's why I don't like guys to come to a show. Because I'm going to talk about partying and drinking and, and all the stuff that I do.
Yeah.
And just the weird things that I do. And a normal kind of a more straight laced guy where in a lot of senses, I'm very normal, like you and I are talking about. Like, I like to cook. I like to hang out. I, go to, let's make dinner and go to the movie. Like, I like all that shit. I like holding hands in bed. Like, I love all that stuff. But then I also, have this other stuff. And a lot of people that are, super partiers mm-hmm. don't have their life together enough to know how to find a copy of the New York Times.
Right.
Like, a hard copy of a paper. And then most people who have that delivered to them are so boring that I'm like, well, I'm gonna go insane because I'm so bored. But the bottom bitch that I have now, it's kind of this perfect match where he and I are both this very similar and that we're really intense and like ambitious in a lot of parts of our lives. And when we get a lot of things done and we work hard, and we like to party hard, but then we also like doing boring old people stuff. I swear to God, we play on the weekends classical music and he like makes my coffee and he'll like, he doesn't really have food in the house, so he'll just like order breakfast and he reads the newspaper to me.
That sounds romantic.
It's very sweet. But that's kind of a trade that I have to, and I'm willing to accept that because yeah. I'm like, well, I would date somebody who is going to show up fucking trash out of their mind at 7:15 on a Thursday.
Yeah.
But so we just have to have a rule of like, you're not coming to shows.
Yeah.
And you're not looking at my social media. He commented on my new Twitter picture. He's like, that's a cute picture. And I was like,
you were banned. You should just ban him. Can't you block people?
Yeah, I got to find out what his username is.
You don't know. The mystery's alive. You got to keep things fresh.
I know.
Yeah. So the next show, is it always on what day of the week?
No, so Glamour Fest, it's different all the time. It's okay. A real fun show because we just announced. So the next one is February 19th. Ooh, 17th? Let me look at my calendar. I believe it's February 17th. Because it is, yes, it's Friday, February 17th.
Friday, February 17th. And yep. Where can people buy tickets to this show?
You can buy tickets. The link is in oh my God. And I'm not at, I swear, I'm having the most intense deja vu when I just looked at my calendar. Like, really intense. And I'm not drinking and I'm not doing drugs. That's, anyway, it's my Twitter. I have the link there.
Okay. What's your Twitter?
At Wendy Starling.
Wendy Starling with an I.
Yeah.
WENDI Starling.
Yep. And then also Glamour Puss has at Glamour Puss Comedy.
Okay.
On Twitter. The link is there. The link is in the Glamour Puss Show Instagram. It's easy to find. So we just have the links all on the social media.
Cool.
On mine and there. So that'll be, February 17th. Pre-sale. It almost always sells out in pre-sales. And then the pre-sale people who buy, and then we'll have 10 door tickets available, standby tickets in case people don't show up or whatever. We can jam extra chairs in. And then sometimes if it's oversold, for our anniversary show, it was super, super packed. So we opened the curtain and we sold the bar seats for a discounted rate for $10 a pop.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone listening, you should go see Glamour Puss.
Come to Glamour Puss. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. And you should follow Wendy Starling on Twitter and Instagram because she's very entertaining.
Oh, thank you. I hope we'll see if any of this is usable.
All of it is usable. Are you kidding me? My mom's going to love it. Well, thanks for being on the pilot episode of Talkward.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. Wait and release this when my movie comes out in like 6 months.
We didn't talk at all about your movie.
Yeah, who gives a shit? I'll come back on when that comes out. It's going to be, well.
It's called Funny Pain.
Yeah.
Starring Wendy Starling. It's a documentary.
Yeah, I have to get in a big fight about
your stand-up.
Yeah, moving to New York and doing stand-up here. And it documents the beginning of Glamour Post and all. It's really fucking interesting. A lot of it shot in a WeWork.
Well, this is Talkward. I'm RDD. Thanks for listening. You can listen to more of these podcasts at talkward.com.
Yeah.
Until next time, bye.
Bye. Have fun at yoga.
I will have fun at yoga.